We live about 2 miles outside of Eagle Lake, and as I was driving to town one day, I passed our neighbor's house, and I saw that his sheep were out of his fence, and they were in the ditch eating the grass there by the side of the road, you don't blame them, because the grass was greener on that side of the fence, and that's where they wanted to be, So I drove up to their driveway and I started to turn in. But as I started to go down their driveway so I could tell them that their sheep were out before one of them got hit by a car, I noticed then in just that, 30 seconds or so, they had queued up behind this little hole in the fence where they had gotten out. They were queued up, and one at a time they were going back in. They were going back in, and so I just sat there and thought, well, I guess I don't have to tell them. And so I just kind of watched for a minute, because it was kind of interesting watching them one at a time go through that little hole in the fence until it got to the last one. And he'd not been paying much attention to the others. He'd been munching away on that green grass, and he looked up and noticed the other sheep were all inside, and he was left outside, and he began searching for the hole in the fence. And you could see he tried to go through here, and he bounced off the fence. He tried over here and bounced off, or maybe it was a she, I don't know, but was bouncing off the fence. And finally, you could see as the other sheep are walking away. Now, I mean, I cannot see into that sheep's mind to see what was going on, but it looked like panic to me. Anyway, finally, He sees the hole and dashes through it and is back with his buddies on the other side then. And so I didn't have to go up and inform the neighbor his sheep were out. But I thought to myself, wow, you really have to have a good fence if you want to have sheep. Or you need a good shepherd to watch them. Our lesson today was written by a shepherd, at least a former shepherd. And is it about his shepherd, a shepherd with a capital S? And it is a set of verses that you're very familiar with, most likely, from Psalm 23. And here's what they say, written by David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our passage for this morning. It's one of the most loved and most quoted Bible passages in the entire Bible. And really, the meat of that passage is in the first 5 words, isn't it? Don't you think? I think that the Lord is my shepherd. Everything else is explanatory, right? The Lord is my shepherd, David says. Now let me show you what that means, right? That's what he's saying here. So verse 1a, the Lord is my shepherd, is explained by 1b. That is what it means to David to have the Lord as his shepherd. And what does it mean? I shall not want. Now, he doesn't mean that he's never going to want anything. Like, I'm sure later that day he wanted a drink of water, right? And that's not what it means. What it really means is, I shall not lack, right? That's what it means. So that when he wants that drink of water, or when he needs that drink of water, he will have it. That's what he means when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack. And then verses 2 through 6 explain how God is going to supply his many needs. When he needs peace for his soul, God will supply it. When he needs food, his shepherd will supply it. When he needs courage in the face of death, he doesn't have to try and gin it up inside himself. His shepherd will supply it. In the face of his enemies, his death will supply his courage. This is a statement of faith. It is a creed, if you want to say. It's a confession of his faith. I can sort of picture David as he's thinking about these things, as he's pondering his future and hardships, because life was hard in those days, just like it is now. Maybe even harder in some ways in those days. And he's saying, as he thinks about the hardships of life, by the way, some of those hardships were brought on by himself. He's responsible for some of the hardships he faced, just like I've been responsible for a lot of my own hardships in life. But even so, he says, I will not lack. God will make sure I'm okay. And even after this life, he says, I won't lack because I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, why is it that David can be so confident, right? That even when in his many hardships, as he faces them, how can he be so confident and speak this way about the future? Notice this is future, or at least much of it is, right? How? Well, because God will see him through. Why? Because God is his shepherd. And this goes all the way back to when David was a boy, right? So remember, when David was a boy, a prophet named Samuel came to David's house, and he said to Jesse, David's father, bring your boys out here, because one of them is going to be, I'm going to anoint as the next king of Israel, right? And so Jesse did that. He brought all his boys out, lined them up, and Samuel said, well, I don't see the king. He's not here. Do you have another son? Jesse said, well, yeah, David. He's out watching the sheep, his youngest. Samuel says, go get him. And so they brought him in, and he was anointed king, right? And God made some promises to David on that day. But really, the promises go way back before that. Because you know what? When David was 8 days old, God brought him into his covenant and said, you're my son, right? You're one of my sheep. I'm going to take care of you now because you belong to me now, right? At the covenant of circumcision, David was brought into God's family at 8 years old. And so David had known his shepherd a long time. That's why he can have this confidence, right? Now, what does that have to do with you or me? Well, some of you are getting ready to head out in a few weeks. Some of you to go back home. Some of you to go back to a summer job. Some of you are getting ready to go to a whole new life. You don't know what the future holds. You can't see it. It's not open in front of you. Is there a time in your life when God made a promise to you that you belong to him? Is there a time when he made a promise to be your shepherd? I want to tell you, there was such a time. St. Paul says this, in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Wow, you have the same promise David did. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. It means he didn't love David more than he loves you. Doesn't love any one single person more than he loves someone else. He's no respecter of persons. He is your shepherd in the same way that he was King David's shepherd. And man, that's a comforting thought as you go out and as you leave and face your future. Because I don't know if you're that much different than I am, but when I look back, except that I've got a lot more past to look back on than most of you do, but if the past is a guide to the future, you know what I see when I look at the past? I see a mountain of mistakes, broken relationships, outright sins that cause shame and regret when I think of them in my past, and probably you do, you have some of those too in your past. How do I know that I'm not just going to make some big blunder and destroy my whole life and the life of those around me? Well, you don't know that, I suppose, but you do know this. You've got a shepherd. You've got a shepherd who will guide you, who will lead you, who will feed you, who will do all the things that shepherds do for you, right? And that's a comforting thought, because we are as foolish as that sheep who couldn't find the hole he had just come through, right, to go back. So I want to tell you this morning, you have a shepherd. The God who claimed you years ago has gone through a lot of trouble to make you his own, giving his own son for you upon the cross to pay the price for your sins and your sinfulness. And he did pay it. And he said to you, he said this to you, it is finished. Your debt is paid. Your sin is forgiven. Now, if he would do that, don't you think you can trust him to hold on to you regardless of mistakes you make, regardless of the blunders you blunder into and the sins you commit? Keep trusting him. In fact, even more trust him then. And as you walk through life, make sure that you're calling upon him as your shepherd. Amen. I'd like to do something. I'd like to ask everybody to rise if you would. I said this psalm is a confession of David's faith. Let's make it a confession of our faith right now, shall we? Let's read this together, Psalm 23. We read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen.